Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, August 18th. It's gotten cooler, Jen. It has gotten cooler out there. Yesterday was much cooler than our weekend was. And I'm sure nobody cares about this because you know what? When you listen to the show like a year from now, you won't really care. But that's okay because we have live things we got to talk about. And I happen to be happy it's not that hot. I just don't understand how people that work outside can work in 100-degree weather.
I don't know either.
I feel bad for them. I don't know. And I'm trying to remember if I ever had to do that when I was... Because when I was young, I just took like menial jobs, you know. And I think I did some landscaping and when I was like 16, 17. And some construction and stuff. And that was in Vegas. So you can imagine the heat there. But I don't even remember really having to do it for extended periods of time. But all these construction workers and everything, gardeners, my God, man, I don't know how they can do it.
I don't either.
Yeah. So how you doing, Jen?
Good.
Anything new to report?
Since yesterday?
Yeah.
No.
Nothing happened with the texting.
What texting?
No texting. Never mind. Didn't you ask me yesterday, like, what to do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
So I
will tell you, I barely slept last night.
Really?
Because I went to sleep, woke up at like 4 in the morning, couldn't fall back asleep.
Wow.
And then finally did, and then had to wake up.
Yeah. Huh? So. Isn't it hard to get up when you only
sleep? Yeah, I feel like my eyes are glued shut.
Yeah.
No amount of coffee can reverse what this is.
I know. Yeah. I go through that every day. It's so hard to get out of bed. But you know what? I also realized it doesn't matter how many hours of sleep. It's just about as hard to get out of bed either way. It just because I think it feels so good under the blanket, you know. I think that's what's hardest for me, not to really open my eyes.
Oh.
So, yeah, but...
I don't know how you sleep the way you sleep.
I know,
Jen.
I know. I just try to catch up with naps in the afternoon. So two and a half hours kind of makes up for it.
Got it.
But I feel I've been kind of edgy on the road, and I think that has to do with it. You know, you become impatient and a little...
When you're not sleeping
on the edge. Yeah, I think so.
I think that, yeah, that sort of like trickles down into the rest of your life, too.
Yeah, I would imagine. Wow.
When I'm tired or hungry, I'm pretty irritable.
Yeah, I know. I know. When I'm hungry, forget about it. Or when I'm hot, too, you know.
Oh, my God. When I'm hot, it's a different story.
Really?
Just get out of my way.
Yeah, I know.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. So tired, hungry, and hot.
Yeah.
Look out.
Right. But all the rest of the time, I'm great.
Yes.
I am a peach.
If you do say so yourself, you know.
It's true. I can't
refute that. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a few minutes, we're going to get to our guest, and this is going to be a very interesting show. I was looking forward to it, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Just a couple things. Donald Trump continues to amaze everybody, and interestingly enough, I posted something last night that I took a picture of from the TV screen where you know, voters, or at least Republican voters, were asked, who do you think the best candidate is to handle the economy? He won 45%, where everybody else had single digits. So apparently in the economy, for some reason, people think that he might do very well.
Yeah.
He's also pulled, you know, moving forward on the, as far as ranking, on just popularity, I guess, in polls and stuff, is that he's leading by at least 7%, you know, and the whole list is kind of shuffled and stuff. But, you know, another person I like is Ben Carson. Have you listened to him at all?
No.
He's very cool. He's like a doctor or a former doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Doctor. And I don't know, the way he speaks, and he's very likable, too. To me, it's very important for the candidate to be likable, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so. Also... have like a good platform.
Yeah, well, yeah. So. But like everything else, you know, you go to a bar first, you look at the way they look, and then you.
That's at a bar. Dig deeper. This is our country.
You have to remind
me. This is our
right?
president.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ruler of our.
The Western world, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Well, so.
Yeah. And, this I wanted to bring up because I've thought about this a lot. I guess this pro athlete, his name is, he's an NFL linebacker, James Harrison. And I guess what happened is he's got two sons, 8 and 6, and they won trophies for playing in the Little League, you know. And so he decided he'd be sending back the trophies because he feels trophies should only be won by kids that win.
Right.
You know, and it seems like today they give, you know, for those who don't know, who don't have kids, it's pretty common now to give all the kids on the team, on both teams, trophies.
It's like the blue ribbon generation. For whatever reason, they have decided that that's what people should be doing.
Yeah.
Everybody should get a reward for even trying.
Right.
And but fine, that's one thing. Okay. Yeah. I mean, maybe we should just have like accolades. Like we could say... good job, you tried. Not here's an award,
right?
Like, let's not get crazy.
Exactly,
you don't get
to
an
put
award
on...
for waking up, like it's you're just doing stuff.
Yeah, people just try to create equal situations, but life is not like that. You know, they'll grow up, they'll feel that if people owe them things and stuff because they always win.
Right. I think there's a balance too.
Yeah.
You know. Having confidence and, like, you know, giving yourself a pat on the back for trying. And another thing with, like, are you the best? If you're not, either become the best or maybe try something else.
Yeah. True.
But that blue ribbon might not help you get there.
Yeah. No, parents are just too involved in their kids' lives, I think. I think way too much. When I was a kid, our parents cared, but, you know, we had lives, you know. And
but then on the other hand, we hear about kids that are off doing crazy shit in the news, and then we're like, where are their parents? We can't have it both ways.
No. But, you know, if you educate them and everything, I think they'll understand that you have to achieve in order to win and be a champion, you know. So, anyway, I'm totally with him on that. You know, and I think if he explains, yes, the kids would probably be disappointed, but I think if he explains it to them, they'll probably understand. You know,
so. I'd like to know what the trophy said. Like, did it say, trophy for participation or trophy for winning or trophy for breathing? What did it say?
Let's see. Student Athlete Award. Next Level Athletics. Yeah, so I don't know. It doesn't really say.
Sounds like participation.
Yeah. That's
fine.
True.
Well, that's okay. As long as we differentiate between what you're getting awards for.
Right. Okay, well.
I mean, that's like the new sticker. I used to get a sticker for showing up to school. Like, it was like gold attendance.
Yeah. Exactly. Now you get trophy just for showing up.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right. Well, let's bring in our guest right now. We have Mr. Corey P. Smith in the studio. Welcome to the show, Corey.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sam.
Of course. So I just asked you if you're visiting here, and you said you're often here, but you live somewhere else, right?
Right.
Where do you live?
I'm a native of Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, very cool. And is that where you live now, or did you move around?
No, Memphis is my home. That's where
it is your home.
My family, wife, and kids are stationary. I move around a lot because of, you know, what I'm attempting to do with my message in regards to credit and promoting the book, promoting my upcoming documentary, Credit is for Poor People. So I'm kind of all over the country
all
right
over
now.
The place doing promotion and stuff. Wow, right. Very cool. So so what do you do in your day-to-day life? I mean, do you write? Is that what you do pretty much? Or are you – because – well, let's explain people what you do first. So with credit and everything. So
well, what I do with credit, I don't do credit repair. What I did, I wrote a book back in 2005. It was entitled How to Outsmart the Credit Bureaus. I didn't do a whole lot with it, but it was a popular book, word of mouth book. A lot of people purchased the book. Fast forward to 2013, I released Conspiracy of Credit. Conspiracy of Credit was a book where I compiled a lot of information, what I call a blueprint to help people connect the dots between the credit bureaus, the banking systems, politicians, to expose how credit is really a industry that is designed to work against the working poor.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. So we'll talk a lot about that because that fascinates me, you know, because, yes, the credit bureaus seem to be like so powerful that, you know, your fate depends on them, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, I have a lot to say about them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so we'll hear everything you have to say.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, so how did this come about? How did you get into this?
You know what? It's how it actually happened one night, about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. This was like in 1999, 2000. I was living in an apartment with my wife and my baby girl. She's going on 18 now, but we were actually sleeping on the floor with no lights. And I'm working every day, but it's like I'm on a treadmill. I'm only getting enough money just to pay the bills.
Right.
And I just woke up out of my sleep just, you know.
Anxious?
No, anxiety. Right. Like I had an anxiety attack. And,
right.
And I told my wife, I said, the only way that I'm going to fix this situation is I have to fix our name, which is credit, essentially.
Yeah.
If we don't have cash.
Right.
We only have our name. And I asked her, I said, if you trust me for us to let this apartment go and we move in with my mom or your grandmother for 24 months, I'll give you the world. And, you know, she put up a little bit of resistance, but ultimately she gave in. And in less than 24 months, we were buying our first home in Memphis, like 4,200 square foot home.
Wow, and what a story.
That's a big home.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a story, you know. I mean,
you went from the floor to...
all with credit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And that's one of the things I put a lot of emphasis on, people learning how to leverage debt. And that's all credit is debt. But
right.
You have to know how to leverage it to the point where it puts you in a better financial position by way of acquiring assets from the debt that you create.
I see.
The assets to service the debt that you create.
Right. So that would be like buying a house and you pay the mortgage, but the value of the house goes up. And so you make money on your asset. Is that an example?
Yeah. For some people.
Right.
Not everybody.
I'm not buying a house.
Right. No, huh? Yeah.
Not so, anything.
My debt is it's like a debt. It's
yeah, a right.
Thing. But I have student loans. So we should talk about it.
Yeah. We should.
Okay. But student loans?
Yeah, and about how to fix what's happened to me.
Okay. All right.
We don't have to write the second.
No, no, no. No, I'm dying to hear. Oh. I just kind of want to set it up and everything.
Yeah, no, go for it.
So
you're just saying trigger words to me, so it's like to talk.
Yeah. No, I know. I just sort of wanted to get the basis so we can sort of focus on you and how you approach everything and stuff, because we also want to talk about identity theft and everything, which does affect your credit, right?
Right, it does.
Yeah.
It does affect your credit in more ways than one.
It happened to me, too.
Really? Wow. Wow. Well, let's get to that, Jen. I mean, I think now we understand why Corey's here.
Right.
We'll talk about
the
book
specifically. Fix my
problems. Yeah. So, I mean, so you don't do credit repair and stuff, but the situation is you're saying that it can be done. Your credit can be fixed.
Right. Your credit can be fixed. And in the book, Conspiracy of Credit, I talk about a lot of techniques that people are unaware of that they can use to virtually remove anything off of their credit. And it may sound cliche because you hear so many of these so-called credit experts that's claim that they could do anything when it comes to your credit. but they're actually only disputing. I've come up with techniques where I use affidavits. I use agencies like the Consumer Protection Bureau, the Better Business Bureau, Consumer Affairs, depending on which state that you live in, to fight against collection agencies.
Yeah.
So I kind of give examples of those affidavits in the book. For instance, let's talk about a collection account.
Okay.
That a creditor has sold to a collection agency. I don't encourage people to ever pay a collection agency.
Really?
Good.
I encourage people to respond to them.
Right, they, so they don't take you to court and everything, right? Because they can do that.
They can, depending on how they bought the debt.
I see.
But most of the time they can't, because they don't. They have no true grounds, because they have essentially just bought what's called a screenshot, or they bought paper from the original creditor. Mm. That's usually, they're paying probably 6 cents on the dollar.
Don't they say, though, that if you get to the point of a collections agency, that your credit has obviously been compromised?
Ruined?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So you still shouldn't pay them, even if your credit's ruined?
Why would you pay them? It's almost like...
like what's done is done already. So.
Right.
But wouldn't they take it off your report, and that would... I mean, it would say that it's been paid, right? So
it doesn't matter.
It's still a derogatory?
It's almost like if you have a girlfriend.
Okay.
And you cheat on her.
You still cheated.
You still cheated. The history is still there. She's still going to remember that.
That's true.
So you have to look at it.
It's going to stay there. It'll say paid off, but after a long time. Right. And after collection efforts and so forth.
Right.
So that makes sense. So now you have no incentive whatsoever to pay it off to a collection agency.
Right. What you do when they initiate communication with you, I tell people, respond back to them in a way that you're not denying the debt, but you're also not saying that it belongs to you. You respond by saying, I have no knowledge of this debt that you're talking about. Because number one, they are not the ones that you originally had the agreement with. You can use what's called a general affidavit of denial. And I have an example of that in the book. And that's what you respond to the collection agency with.
Mm.
And most of the time, because they have bought screenshots, they truly can't provide the paperwork that you were requesting, meaning the original agreement with the original creditor. Sometimes they will respond with what's called an affidavit of destroyed instrument. A lot of people don't even know what that is.
No, we don't.
But what about people that are like, well, I'm not going to pay anything now. I'm just going to let the creditors call me.
Right.
And I'm just going to keep saying, I deny, and
and nothing happens. Well, I guess it just depends on each individual. You have to look and see, what am I trying to do with my life? How important is credit is to me? I mean, the title of my documentary is Credit is for Poor People. Mm. Because if you had $5 million in your bank account,
You don't need credit.
Yeah.
You can get whatever you want.
Yeah, you wouldn't be concerned.
You don't get a car with credit at that point. You get a car with the money that you have.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So credit card companies and banks, well, not anymore, not as much anymore, but would freely give credit to just about anyone. And you're saying it's usually people that can't pay it off. So the banks essentially they know they're giving credit cards to people who probably won't pay it, right?
Well, I mean,
what do you think?
It's one thing you have to remember when it comes to the credit card companies and the bank is this. They're still a business. It's a business for them.
Right.
Any customer, good or bad, is an asset to them.
Really?
Really.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, because they would make, I guess, like service fees from the purchases and everything.
Service fees, and it's almost like having a portfolio, even if you're a bank. Collection agencies, depending on the amount of... if I go out and I buy $1 million worth of debt, collateral debt from people who have become delinquent with different credit card companies, I just increase my net worth by $1 million. Because the people that I'm trying to collect from, that's like accounts receivable for me. That's
right.
Money that I can potentially earn.
Exactly. So
you kind of got to look at the banks and the credit card companies in the same manner. It's not about, you know, whether a customer is good or bad. Is can I make money off this customer?
Right.
Can this customer help my portfolio?
Right.
So,
wow.
So it's business for them.
Yeah. Really. Interesting. Wow. This is cool. So, so Jen, let's get specific a little bit, and let's try and get some answers for you.
Okay. So let's talk about people like me who went to college and came out of college with $220,000. No, that's a lie. It was $200,000 or something like that in student loans, and then it acquired interest or accrued interest. So now it's at, it was like $220,000 after all that. So I've been chipping away at it for 8 years.
Let me ask you, Jen,
how do you rack up that much?
Yeah.
Your parents take out loans because they don't want to put down money.
No, but
for
but
the
school
college.
Costs that much?
Well, it's school plus living plus books plus housing plus whatever the hell was for me at that time. So that ended up being...
Yeah, for 4 years, I guess, you know, housing enough.
And I graduated early, 3.5 years, because I was like... And I lived at home one semester because I was like, well, why am I going to live at school if I'm going to graduate early anyway? So, like, there were things that I did to, like, save, but when you go to a private school, you're not saving anything.
That's true.
And,
oh, and it is a private school, right?
Yes.
That you went to, okay.
Yeah. So I come out of school with that. Then they, like, defer it for, what, a year or 6 months until they assume you get a job, which is, I'm sorry, I don't know if anybody's taken a look at the job market these days. But so they assume you get a job and can start paying off these, like, astronomical payments every month. Mine were like, I don't know, $1,300. Like, that's more than double or three times to some people's rent, in just depending on what state you're in.
Wow.
Like, so then you renegotiate, you pay the interest instead of like the actual payment. And I've been in like every program you could possibly be in, like for like poor college students that are poor because of their debt from their education that I'm sorry, it's not getting me a job. And so after 8 years of I've been paying toward it, at some point, like in the past year, I was like, no, I'm not paying you.
Right.
They're like, well, you're going to default on your loan. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do?
Right.
Do you want to give me a job, Sally Mae? Rude. She doesn't. She doesn't want to give me a job.
Wow.
But so all that, you know, just leads you back to you're screwed.
Right.
What do you then do?
What are you?
I'll tell you what I did. I deferred for a month and then I deferred for another 3 months. So like I paid $150 and it gave me like a 3 month break. But after those 3 months, then they're like,
yeah,
come pay us or you default. And then you're, I don't know, what does that turn into, like income for you? So then you get taxed on that or they garnish your wages in the future. Like what is defaulting on a stupid student loan do to your life?
Is simply you didn't pay.
Right.
In your case, not having the ability to pay off $220,000. But, you know, that goes, I often tell people this. I have this T-shirt brand of clothing with these thought-provoking statements on them. And one of the T-shirts states, education is overrated. And a lot of people have a problem with that. But you just gave, like, a verbal definition of what many millions of people face after they have gotten their college degree and think that they're going to go out and get this job and live the American dream. The problem is with parents and students who are about to attend college, they never look at what's going to be the return on my investment.
Mm.
I'm going to go spend 4, 5, 6 years of my life, graduate with a degree that I probably can't use because of the economy and how our economy continues to go in a different direction. And I'm also going to be in debt.
Right.
You know, so I'm starting my life out in debt.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, you get out at 22, 23, whatever age, and you settled with all this debt. And, yeah, what do you do? I mean, what a depressing way to start your life.
Don't pay. And you figure out, you have to, and this is, for each individual, there's a different scenario that I could come up with. But the problem is that it's designed to be that way. If you truly look back and do the research in regards to the educational system in America, you'll see it was designed to create workers, machine-like people. You got to ask yourself, if I ask you this question right now, what do you think about the educational system in America? What do you think most people are going to say? It's what?
It's not very good.
It's not very good, right?
I would have said it's shit.
Yeah. Trying to be polite about it.
Why?
Yeah.
But the thing I'm about bad at it. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do. Dumb you down. There's a thing called the Gini Index. And it's a measurement of how the gap between the rich and poor. America has one of the largest gaps in the world.
Wow, really?
Meaning, like, you got a CEO of Walmart that probably makes $12,000 an hour.
Right.
And you have a cashier that probably only makes $10 an hour, depending on where they live at or employed at in the country.
Right. But, you know, I mean, that's a side effect of capitalism, you know. I mean, I think that's also why the reason we love this country is because each one of us is given that opportunity to do something with themselves, you know. And so I missed my point.
But shouldn't, in, like, education in a country like ours be, like, an inalienable right? Like, if we want people to...
Should be free.
Yeah, right. Like, right. I mean, like that and healthcare. I'm sorry. Do we want our peeps to survive and live and continue spending money in the stores and stuff? Like, you're not going to have people if they can't pay their medical bills.
Yeah. No, that's true. You know, I mean, so
which I
it's
didn't.
A system. Yeah, yeah, I know. And many
no,
people,
actually, I didn't because I didn't know that. Like at a teaching hospital, like Cedars, for instance, I had a surgery right after I had quit my job a year ago. I had a job for 6 years, quit my job, then had a surgery, then pleaded poverty, and then they forgave my whole surgery.
Right, wow. Like a pauper's oath, so to speak.
Yeah,
you have no assets.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. I think some people would probably, you know, take issue with the fact that you say don't pay your debt and stuff, you know. But the thing is that I think in many ways, well, the bottom line is this. Some people simply can't.
Exactly. You know? That's the reason. It's almost like, let me ask you this.
Right.
You have $10.
Right.
You have a wife and kid. You borrowed that $10 from me. That's the only $10 that you have. And I come back and I say, Sam, I need my $10. Are you going to give me that $10 or are you going to use that $10 to hit for your family?
Right. No, I see your point. But the point is also next time you won't lend me any money, right? So, and I think that's what credit is about. If you don't pay, you ruin your credit and then other people don't give you money.
And I mean, you could have that type of philosophy, but the thing about it is, they have created such a lexicon or a matrix, so to speak, that unless you have cash, you are not going, or you have not been informed enough to maneuver through this American economy without using credit, you're going to have to use credit. And if you haven't been educated enough, you're going to fall into the trap because credit is nothing more than algorithms. And we know algorithms are predictors. They can predict human behavior. They can predict your spending habits. There is something that is neuroeconomics right now that they're moving towards, like looking at a person's credit rating or credit habits through their DNA.
Really?
Really.
What? Yeah. That's so cool and weird.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say, you know, people have these moral values and say, well, you shouldn't get it if you can't pay for it. And to me, that is a brainwash, so to speak, because just because you want to have a better life, then that means you're trying to live above your means. But the reason why you want to have a better life, because there's something inside of your spirit that tells you that I'm supposed to be living an abundant life.
Right.
But you can't figure it out because from the get-go, they have dumbed you down. They have taking you away from the creative side of your brain when you start preschool. You think about this. In school, what side of the hallway are you taught to walk on?
The right side.
When you want to ask a question, what do they say? Raise your
right hand.
Right hand.
Right. When you're in court, swear with your... Right. There's a reason for all of that.
Yeah.
And if you do the research on how the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain works, then it'll all start to make sense to you. Mm. I mean, your left side is your creative side. That's why if you look at countries overseas,
right,
they are more spiritual. They are they even some of them even write from left to right.
Yeah.
Not right to left.
Yeah.
Right.
So I talk about all those things in the book and to try and make sense of this whole crazy society that we live in, and it'll make more sense to people. Like you mentioned identity theft, right? And you mentioned that she had been a victim, right?
Right.
You have a lot of people that feel like they have to buy identity theft protection because so much entertainment, as I say, has been put in the media to make you believe that, oh, I might be the next victim.
Right.
So they start to sell you this product.
My mom bought it.
Right. LifeLock. LifeLock.
My mom bought LifeLock. That's what she did. She told me to buy it. I'm like, no.
It's a product. It's a product. You imagine having 100 million people paying $14 a month for something that they can do for free. If you do your research on LifeLock, they were sued by Experian because Experian said they were playing the middleman to sell a product that is essentially free to consumers.
Wow. Yeah.
Right now, last month, the Federal Trade Commission filed a lawsuit against LifeLock again for violating a settlement from 2012 for false advertising, for not protecting consumers' information like they should.
Wow.
For something that's free, you can protect your own credit with a consumer statement. You can put a freeze on your credit. And if you are a victim of identity theft, the federal, by law, you're not liable for no more than $50.
Wow.
Yeah, I wasn't. Well, yeah. Actually, that's not true. I'll tell you what happened. So I went to file my taxes. I always do it like day one that you can possibly go to my accountant. I'm there. So I go, do my whole taxes. Everything's great. I get a call later from my accountant's wife, and she said, sorry, somebody actually filed their taxes with your social. So it's going to take some time. They stole your identity. We'll get it taken care of. Here's what you need to do. I did some research and I found out all the steps and who I need to report it to. The West Hollywood sheriffs came to my house. So we filed a report. Mm-hmm. I wrote a blog post on it because I was like, if anybody has this happen to them, here are the steps. Go do this immediately. Then it'll just be resolved. So they didn't steal my money. They just stole money from the government because it was filing their taxes, assuming that they made however much they filed for. So it didn't come out of my bank account. They didn't go steal my bank account information. But it took 5 months. And then finally, I got my tax return. They were now part of some, I don't know, criminal trial. And now forever, I have a PIN number that comes with my taxes. Every year, I have to get it in the mail. Then I have to go to my accountant. And he's like, "What's your PIN number?" So that they know it's me when I file.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But that's good. That protects you a little bit.
Yeah. But it was a pain in the butt.
Yeah. I can imagine. I know that when people just, charge on my account and something like that, it just happened yesterday. But thankfully, the banks take it off and everything.
Right.
But
somebody bought music equipment in Austin, Texas with my card.
Yeah.
So I was like, enjoy your drum set.
Yeah, a lot of stuff online and stuff. Yeah. But sometimes they leave a trail. Apparently the person that was charging on my card was in Orange County. I mean, you could see where they were going and stuff.
It's kind of
funny. Also did some online. But yeah, I mean, it's scary if someone can take on your identity, because then you're saddled with having to take care of fixing everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Which takes forever. It's not a quick fix. Credit's the slowest thing in the whole wide world.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know why, because you could...
Because they usually run 30 to 60 days behind, period, anyway.
Yeah.
It's not a fast process when dealing with the credit bureaus.
Well, when they stole my identity and did the whole tax thing, it actually didn't affect my credit at all because they just stole from the government, which was so dumb of them. They should have stolen from me, if anything. hello?
<Yeah.
laughs> really? You're going to go federal on this? Okay, sure. So, choices. But what did happen was 3 years later, because this was in like 2011, I think, I just got a notification in the mail from the IRS that said, you owe back tax on a larger amount of money that you clearly made for that year. I'm like, government, do you remember two people filed that year? One being me, one being criminal. Right. I'm not paying back tax on what they stole from you. What happened to their paper trail? Do they not know how to like resolve this?
They do. I mean, but you
it's like 90 people, like 90 different departments doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And then you have human beings. So
human error. See, I always say that. Yeah. Like, you can't expect humans to always do the right thing. They don't.
That's true. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Corey P. Smith, a credit expert. Let's talk a little bit about your books. You have a new one coming out?
No, it's already out.
Oh, it's already out. Congratulations.
Credit is out.
Conspiracy of Credit.
And I need that book.
Yeah.
Immediately.
So what's the conspiracy?
Basically what you just said, yeah, which was...
The conspiracy...
I mean, do they work together to do this?
Yes. Like, she just mentioned the IRS. Uh-huh. And I just mentioned don't pay, right?
Right.
I'll use this example, and I've used it before in a past interview. When I tell people don't settle a credit card debt that has been canceled, and they like, why? Because by law, most of the time when the credit card company wants you to settle, it's for a tremendous amount less than what you owe. Mm. The reason for that is because if you settle a credit card debt for $600 less than what you owe,
right,
you are subject to pay taxes on that to the IRS because they have to report that.
As income.
Wow.
As income.
That's what Jen was saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
wow.
So why would you do that? One, your credit is already messed up.
Right.
Now you're going to pay taxes on credit.
Yeah.
You know.
And still pay them on top of it.
And still pay them.
So you're hemorrhaging money. Awesome.
Yeah.
And regardless of what they say, they have insurance.
Yeah.
Would you start a business without insurance?
Right.
Would you loan me money seriously, you know, and you know you it's going to hurt you if you don't get it back?
Right.
And we're talking about a business.
Right.
So they win in both ways.
Yeah. Wow. That makes a lot of sense. So now this begs the question then. We don't pay, right? We do contact them, though, and everything else. But obviously, your credit is now bad. What do?
You start the process of fighting back, cleaning up, using affidavits. Mm. I don't even say general disputes. I talked to a guy. I won't call his name, but he's supposed to be this big credit expert. I asked him a few questions. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is the expert, and you don't even know what an affidavit of destroyed instrument is. You don't even know what a accurate or current report is.
Wow.
You know, it's those things, if you are an expert, you should know, because an accurate or a current report that is generated by LexisNexis is the way that they discriminate against poor people. It's a way for them to redline, because if you get a copy of your current report, it will have information from the time that you graduated high school up until now. It will describe what neighborhood you live in, the average income, the average price of the home, the average level of education.
Right.
It will have all the info for any girlfriend that you might have had in your lifetime, any boyfriend.
How do they know?
Because it is a lexicon of information. I was just telling them, LexisNexis. And they spell Nexis with the U, but it's actually, when we talk about LexisNexis, it's an I, but it is the definition is a way to connect things together. Lexis is the language. Mm. And they use this software, this database system, to collect these public records. Even if you go get a Kroger Plus card or one of these reward cards, that information is being sold, and the computer is always generating a file on you, and it's being sold from from this company to that company. Like, we talked about LifeLock. You thinking that your credit, you thinking that they're doing this great thing, and they're not. A lot of people don't know that LifeLock acquired a company called ID Analytics. You know who their investor was? One of their investors was Goldman Sachs. Right?
Right.
In 2012. You know what company Goldman Sachs owns a great percentage of? TransUnion, the credit bureau.
The credit bureau, really?
Wow. Right. So if you connect the two, no wonder they have so much information on me.
Yeah.
And you have to, when I talked about, when you asked me what's, how do you start cleaning up, you have to use affidavits and use the privacy laws. And what I mean by that is, if you have a credit card agreement with Citibank, your credit card agreement is with Citibank and their brand of family. That means they cannot provide information to anyone outside of their brand of family. Why is this so important? Because when you go and dispute with the credit bureaus, you have to remember that they are communicating with the bank through numbers. That's why they have one, you pay on time. Two, you're 30 days late. Three, you're 60, 90 days late. Right?
Right.
It works the same way with them communicating with the banks. Yes or no. Yes, this person. Yes, this belongs to this person. No, it does not belong to this person. Mm-hmm. But by you disputing with an affidavit, which is a sworn statement,
right,
you're asking, I need you to provide me with the actual paperwork. But you have to be persistent, and you can't be afraid if you have to take it to a level where you say, okay, I'll take it to silver court. But they know that because you were sending affidavits and not just general letters, that, right, man, this person may be building
a case against
me. Wow. Because the affidavit, that's like a sworn statement,
yeah,
that I sent to you, that it has to be answered.
Wow. Well, there you go. So if you guys want to know all that, get the book, The Conspiracy of Credit, Corey P. Smith. Do you have a website too, Corey?
Yes, www.coreypsmith.com, www.conspiracyofcredit.com.
Wow. We're going to have to get a copy of this book. Because many people have credit problems. And it's not easy to keep a clean credit report. But you're saying that you can actually bring the score up if you take action.
Yes, if you take action. But you cannot sit back and try to, you know, have, say, I'm not going to do certain things, or, you know, because you're fighting against an enemy that's not being fair. Like, you don't know all the rules. You don't even know what's going on. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to do, is provide information to people where they can fight back, so they, right, can truly see what they're up against. Experian is a company that's based out of the United Kingdom that has access to all of the American population's information.
Wow.
LexisNexis is a company that's based overseas. That's the parent company.
Wow.
These are not even American-based companies.
Yeah.
When you file a dispute, they are outsourcing your dispute to some place in Jamaica or India.
Oh, my God.
But you're fighting against identity theft protection and all of this.
Right.
But they don't tell you that.
Yeah. Wow. So. Very interesting. You know, and I mean, this is such a fresh look at everything. And I think it gives people some hope, you know, because you know, I mean, you're at a point where you go, it's never going to get better. I mean, if all these items stay under for 7-10 years, it's never going to get better. You know, it's only going to get worse or stay the same, you know. But,
right.
But you know, the thing is that I think what you're saying is very important. Let me tell you why. When you hear, like, finance experts, you read you know, personal finance books and things like this, they always tell you, pay off your debts first. But the thing is this, if you do, think how much money you're going to be out that you could be building your life with.
I like that.
Right?
And I like that. And here's the thing about it. When I look at these so-called financial experts,
right,
Like, who are you the expert to? Because most people don't have money.
Right.
Like, their finances is credit. That's all they know. Like, okay, I can go and get buy a house or a car or get a credit card to try to. They don't. The majority of people have no idea about stocks and bonds, options, none of that.
Yeah.
The majority of the population, you said not most people. Yes, most people have bad credit.
Really?
Contrary to what they may try to put out. If you go find 10 people right now and say, hey, what's your credit score? One, they probably be too embarrassed to tell you.
Yeah.
Or two, they probably, it's bad.
Yeah.
Or I messed up somewhere.
Wait, and it tells you, it's so rude when you like check it. It'll be like, poor. Like, your credit is poor. Like, really? Okay, thanks. You've reminded me twice now what situation I'm in. Could be like, it could be better. Like, why don't they use, like, positive words? Yeah. Like, not as high as it should be.
Because they're a business, like he said.
They're rude.
Yeah. Wow, that's funny. So, Corey P. Smith, the book is The Conspiracy of Theory. The Conspiracy, because I'm looking at the other. The Conspiracy of Credit. Your other book was How to Outsmart the Credit Bureaus, which is what we've been talking about.
Right, I pulled it. And my wife always tell me, don't stop saying this. But when I put that book out, I got a visit from the feds.
Really?
Yes. And
that means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Well, they told me, one of them told me, he said, you are a paper terrorist. You're trying to teach people how to undermine the financial institutions.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And that's when I knew that credit is a powerful thing. I actually, the documentary, one of the storylines is, because I did it years ago, I took these two homeless guys just to show the power of credit.
Right.
Pay for them to live in a homeless shelter for about 60 days. Took their credit, built it up to 700 plus credit scores, was able to get them housing, transportation, get them on their feet by using credit. So I was trying to prove a point that if you know how to leverage credit, you can position yourself in a way where you don't have to look back. And this was like 5-6 years ago, and both of these guys are still doing good. Like, one of them actually got married.
Really?
Yeah, and these are
homeless people.
Yes, and wow. I'm doing the same thing with people who have been incarcerated for 5 or 10 years, because when they come out, they're like newborn babies. They don't even exist on paper in terms of credit. And of course, there's an interview process, and they have to have all of their right faculties and not be on drugs I'm trying to help them reestablish themselves by using a resource that they have no idea that they even have, which is their name.
Right. That's true. And the documentary, where can people see that?
Well, the documentary will be released the early part of next year. We're trying to finish it up now. That's why I'm in L.A. So it's business and it's pleasure.
Awesome.
I mean, L.A. is a beautiful place. I'm enjoying it. But the documentary will be released sometime beginning of next year.
That's cool. I can't wait for that.
Me too.
And I'm definitely going to read the book because I could use some help. And, you were asking, Jen, how do they know everything about you? It's like public record, right? I mean, all you have to do is Google your name and you'll find all these, like, people search sites. And you'll see things about you that, like, you wouldn't believe. Like, they give you the names of your relatives and everything. Wow. Like,
I know. Every time I've done like a credit report, and they're like, "Which of these addresses have you lived at recently?" I'm like, "Why are you stalking me?"
Yeah,
that comes from LexisNexis Instant ID Check. That's where those questions come from.
Really?
I'll say this. This is like one of my sayings when people talk about information or knowledge, and they say knowledge is power, right? And I always say, well, knowledge has its greatest power when it remains a secret. Because when everybody finds out about it, it's
no
not
more power
anymore,
right? Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, you're giving us a glimpse of hope, I think, into this stuff. And like I said, I'm looking forward to that. And because I think just about everybody's involved with these things, you know.
Yeah.
Collection letters, collectors calling, things like that, you know. So there's so much more to talk about this, but you guys can catch both books. Is the first one still in print?
No, the revised and updated copy of that book will be released the beginning of November.
Oh, okay,
because
cool.
I had to update it. I had to change some information because the laws have changed.
Right.
Their tactics have changed. So,
right.
So I had
it's current.
Right.
Right.
I had to come with a new game plan to help people out.
Yeah, that's cool of you because, you know, you could have just sold the book as an outdated thing and people would have been disappointed, you know.
Yes.
But you're obviously serious about this. You know what you're talking about. You know what you're doing. And it's cool. So I would imagine your credit score is good now, right? You know how to keep it good.
I don't use it.
You don't use credit.
No,
That's probably the best way, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably the lesson we should learn here to wrap it all up is that...
Cash is king.
Yeah. Try not to get into debt in the first place.
Exactly. And in the whole... You know, my whole thing is to try and remove yourself from it.
From the
eventually,
system.
Meaning that... Even if you have to deal with it, you're not dependent upon it.
Right.
Like when you just ask me, I don't have to use my credit because I have found ways to regenerate my money through whether it's me going to buy a house in Detroit for $3,000 and putting it back on the market for $12,000.
Yeah.
That's still $9,000.
Right.
You know, so that doesn't take me having credit. It just takes me having $3,000 available. So
that's true. There you go. Well, Corey Smith, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
everybody,
me.
Everybody, this book is a must, The Conspiracy of Credit. Go ahead, get that. Give out your website again.
It's www.coreypsmith.com and www.conspiracyofcredit.com.
Awesome. Corey, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
You.
A lot of great information there. And we'd love to have you back when you're back in town.
I would like
something.
To be back. I don't plan on leaving.
Yeah, when the documentary comes out, I'd love to see that as
great.
Well.
Great.
So
I look
we'll
forward
talk about
to it.
That.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Sam.
And see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.